From theunce.com, this is the Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com. Hello and welcome to the Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. My guests today are Matt Berryhill, Matt Flesher, and Andrew Hathaway of the Boulder-based bass music trio Robotic Pirate Monkey. RPM has achieved phenomenal success in their very short time together, playing Red Rocks, selling out the Bluebird in Denver, and sharing the stage with some of the biggest acts of the day. Their most recent release is the Sidetracked EP, and they're following it up with a brand new album coming soon. You'll hear their new track today, and you can see the video at theunce.com. Last week, The Unce launched its 2011 digital music sampler, featuring new tracks from Bass Nectar, Thievery Corporation, Low Bounce, Future Rock, EP3, Ski Tones, and more. We've got a couple of tracks from Freak Nasty and an unbelievable remix from L. Gates as well. You'll be able to get flyers featuring our digital sampler's QR code at each stop on the Identity Fest tour, and you can also get them at other major festivals throughout the summer and fall. Scan the QR code with your smartphone, and each of these tracks will be available for stream or download. We're also spotlighting each track on the sampler with our 20 tracks in 30 days feature through the Unce Wire. Okay, let's get to the interview. So let's get the boring stuff out of the way first. For those who are familiar with the program, I like to get into the musical backgrounds of my guests. Matt Flesher, let's go ahead and start with you. Did you grow up playing instruments?
Sort of. I played in the band till about middle school, playing trumpet, and that was really the extent of my traditional music training till I got into more DJing and making music aspect as when I was in college.
When you were playing trumpet, did you have maybe aspirations to continue on, or was that not even on the radar?
No, I wish I could say it was so. You know, if I was to go back and do it again, I definitely would have been more in tune with music in my childhood, but honestly, it was something more or less I just did till high school and stopped doing.
Andrew Hathaway, what about you? Did you have a traditional background?
Not really. I played a little saxophone in like third or fourth grade, I think it was. I think I stopped maybe in fifth grade. And then, yep, not really. Spent most of my time doing skiing.
Well, I imagine if you're out west, you may as well be skiing instead of playing music. That's for nerds at that time in your life, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, I mean, yeah, different demographic.
Not our cup of tea, man.
Okay. And Matt Berryhill, what about you?
Yeah, I had some experience. As a kid, I played piano, doing lessons, and then I taught myself guitar probably beginning of high school, junior high. And then I love playing in bands, and I just started doing this, you know, beginning of college.
Do the other members turn to you because you have maybe a more of a theoretical or compositional background, or do you feel like you're all sort of on the same plane?
I mean, I feel like I don't understand more than they do, but sometimes I can hear things like the keys and using samples a little better at times, but really not too much of a difference.
Yeah, I'd say earlier when we started, there's definitely more of a pronounced difference, but I don't know, after we all put countless hours in every week, it's kind of began to level out a little bit as far as, you know, just being able to the musical theory aspect of it.
Matt Flesher, you mentioned at first that you sort of just got into electronic music. I wonder, was electronic music always a part of your musical interest, or is this sort of a recent phenomenon, not just for you, but for all of you? Did you grow up listening to it, or did it slowly seep into your repertoire?
It definitely became more pronounced as I was in college, but I mean, I've always been you know, a big fan of all types of music, and you know, it was more probably downloading the more candy, like cheesy techno when I was younger, but I've always been a fan of electronic music, and once I moved out to Colorado in college, it kind of, you know, exploded from there.
Now, Andrew, as the group has been together for just a little over a year, tell me how you three became a part of each other's lives. How did you meet and start producing together and then working together as a cohesive outfit?
I remember the first night I met Berryhill. I'd always known Flesher from skiing from the East Coast, but Berryhill I met one night. We were DJing, I think it was like an after party of some sort for Global Dance Fest back in like 2008, maybe 2009. Yeah, he started going off about production, and so I got super stoked on that, and I don't know. Do you remember when we met and decided to start producing?
Spring of something. It was 2 years from this spring, so.
Yeah, it was the spring of 2010 when we all three got together, but yeah.
It was a year before that, probably.
Like Andrew said, I knew him from skiing back east, and we met Barry Hill. Andrew met him probably earlier than I in the winter of 2009, and we all started making music together in the spring of 2010, so not that long ago.
So all three of you were DJing originally. What sort of music were you playing? Was it the hot stuff of the time, or were you playing more underground music? I imagine the sort of scene that has taken over Boulder, Denver, Fort Collins was maybe still on the rise at that point and hadn't blown up like it has where we are now in 2011.
Yeah, we definitely started playing more like the college party scene. Having that said, University of Colorado, where we went to school, probably was a little ahead of its time when, electronic scene was just a little bit faster to catch on there, so I wouldn't say we were playing like the
house and stuff.
Yeah, it was the popular stuff in college, but I guess CU had a more acute year for the electronic music.
Robotic Pirate Monkey with their Jukebox Hero remix from their first release, Jungle Tales. Let's talk about the scene. You guys are at the epicenter of this new electronic movement there in Boulder, and like I said, coming out of Denver and Fort Collins as well, and the state is essentially turned into a superstar factory. I'm going to throw out a few names, and I want you to react to them. Tell me where they stand in your books and how they've affected your scene. Let's start with sort of the godfather of the scene, Vibe Squad. What do you think about Aaron Holstein and what he has done for not just the music that you've played, but sort of Colorado as a whole?
He's definitely someone that's been on our radar from the beginning because, you know, from Boulder as well. I've always heard his music. You know, I remember right when I was learning how to produce music, I always was in awe of his productions, especially. To be honest, I want to say don't follow him as much anymore, but he's just not. I haven't been listening to him as much recently as when I first started making music.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like his strong structure is the most progressive of pretty much anybody. What he does is just a lot more progressive than a lot of people are used to, I feel like.
Certainly, he didn't follow a lot of the rules that were being made on the spot, and it sort of carved out his own niche. And even back when he was playing with Michael Travis and Jamie Janover and Zilla, was making a lot of moves in breakbeat and trance and live electronic music as a whole. And then when he got into making bass music, making dubstep, it was his own little version of it still. He was maybe picking up where Tipper left off, but there weren't a lot of people producing in Colorado like he was. And certainly, you know, now you can look at his body of work and see how original it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think he does carve like the perfect example of what we want and what a lot of people around here want is like to be them, like their own thing, you know?
Yeah, it's not necessarily the genre of dubstep that you see on Beatport, but more or less this Colorado bass scene where, you know, it's omni-tempo everywhere and anything, just with one, you know, one common thing, just the bass.
So speaking of that, another group that maybe you might be mirroring in your ascension, another three-person group out of that Boulder scene, Savoy. Tell me what you think of them. They're sort of headquartered in Brooklyn now, but certainly came out of that Colorado scene.
Yeah, Savoy's definitely been another one that was on our radar early. You know, I guess we'd see ourselves more paralleling their earlier stuff. We're still huge fans of that jam rock remix they made.
Sure, sure.
Some of their newer stuff kind of strays away from what we're trying to achieve, but definitely still cool and good to see Boulder represented across the country.
Again, live electronic music is always special.
Yeah, exactly. The whole, you know, going past DJing and bringing something else to the performance of electronic music, and you know, they're pushing that scene as well.
Certainly. And then we can't talk about Colorado without mentioning Derek Vincent Smith, Pretty Lights. What has Derek done for Colorado as a whole? Obviously, there are a ton of producers. We can't name them all. We'd spend hours on this podcast, but he's really established himself, established a sound for himself, and brought a lot of attention on his fellow musicians in the scene, not just through his own music, but also his label, PLM, and just being across the boards, very accessible, and just music that people dig. It goes without saying that it's hard to be unaffected by Pretty Lights music. They're making electronic music in Boulder, Denver, or in Fort Collins.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's undeniable that Pretty Lights is a huge influence on us and the whole Colorado music scene. I mean, his not just from the style of how he produces music, which we love, just to keep it at that, but the whole thing of the way his shows are presented, the high level production, the lights, you know, the not a DJ. Well, I mean, it's a DJ set, but he's playing 100% his music and remixes, and not, you know, not rocking CDJs, rocking the top dance songs around. Yeah, it's undeniable that he's really shaped who we are today and the Colorado music scene in general.
Compare, Jolene.
RPM's live take on Dolly Parton's Jolene, with a little Pretty Lights Finally Moving thrown in.
So let's talk about your music then. Tell me about some of your recent releases. I know you have the very popular Sidetracked EP. What was the intent behind the release? Was it saying, okay, we got to put together, you know, an X number song EP that shows exactly what we do? Or was there some sort of greater concept behind it?
We really thought for a while, since like Jungle Tales, which was released in December or January, right around there, we haven't released any music, but we made a lot of it. So we felt like we need to pick, you know, one, you know, track of each kind of style, direction we were feeling, release it, just to show the people that we're doing things and we're progressing and trying new things and, you know, just looking at it differently.
Yeah, it's more. That was more of, I'd say, a taster of what's to come. We're just now, I think today, actually later by 4 o'clock, so in a half hour, so we're releasing a video that's features the single off our new album, and it's going to be a greater representation of the breadth of work we've been doing. I think Sidetracked was a good representation of that, but it was just a teaser.
For each song that you release, does it have the Berryhill or the Flesher stamp on it? Do the songs really reflect the person that brought them to the table, or is everything absolutely communist or socialist? Everyone, you know, gives their 2 cents to each song that goes out, and everyone has sort of an impact on it? Or do you feel like some people maybe take more control on this track or that remix?
Yes and no. I mean, there's definitely everyone gives their 2 cents on each track. But it's not, you know, there's definitely, it's probably more apparent to us.
Like one person always starts listener. The track.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. If you play any of the tracks to us, we'll be able to tell you who started that, who came up with the original conception of that track. But it's all started, you know, someone will have a track, like, look at this idea I started, and then we just kind of tag team it till it's done or till we decide not to do anything more with it. And, you know, it really, we do have kind of a similar, not exactly the same. We definitely have our differences, but we have a similar goal we're trying to go after. We're pretty open about, you know, what sound we're trying to achieve and making sure that we're staying consistent with that and not just, you know, throwing out some crazy track from left field because we're listening to drum and bass in the morning or something.
I guess you've been together for such a small amount of time, it's probably hard to see any sort of evolution in your process, but over the time that you've been working together, have you started using all the same software, or have you modified your process so that it's more inclusive for the others? I guess, you know, you're still in your honeymoon phase in just being together over a year.
I'd say that a lot of it is circumstantial, in that it depends on whoever computer is at the monitors.
Yeah,
and so
plugins you got.
We might have like a certain folder of presets on one computer, which like, oh, I mean, it's not very smart of us, but it ultimately decides like the sound of the track based on what computer.
Also, they usually end up on Fletcher's though, because his is the fastest. And yeah. Sometimes we'll be midway through a track and we just won't work anymore. So
yeah,
CPU can't take it.
Shut down.
We do have pretty similar software, but like, I don't know, there's just little. We all use Ableton Live, and we have the same VSTs and stuff. But you know, there's some patches that are saved on certain computers, and certain, I don't know, drum production packs or that might shape the sound.
Samples and whatnot.
Yeah. Whatever, which place the turntable needle that we decided to sample the record from might sound better or worse. Or.
Sure. It's funny you mentioned listening to drum and bass in the morning. You guys have such strange and eclectic fodder for your remixes. Old Aerosmith or even Dolly Parton. Do you try and find the oddest, farthest stuff from electronic music or bass music? Or is it just whatever strikes your fancy?
Totally, whatever strikes.
Yeah, whatever strikes. Yeah, 100%.
We never want to ruin a song either. Yeah. We don't want to make a remix that like just totally ruins the original track. So
yeah.
If it's not working, we understand, you know.
Yeah, we usually start the morning off with digging through our record collection and just listening.
In the afternoon.
Smoking. maybe morning or afternoon for most of us, but. But yeah, we just listen to music, whether it be in our car or. Sitting on our stereo and once the idea hits, we open up Ableton and go with it.
We really love the FM radio too.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's be a classic. It just like screams.
We just drove 20 hours in like the last week without any CDs, thinking it's kind of ironic that musicians are traveling without any music. So we just listened to the FM radio, you know, through Jibum, Colorado, seeing these like country rock, blues rock, just hitters giving us ideas left and right.
Absolutely. And then have you gotten halfway through a song and just been like, this is shit? This is not going to work. I mean, we can't touch this.
All the time. But I mean, there's no harm in that. You know, anytime you sit down and make a good effort to produce something, you're learning something or figuring something out or figuring what doesn't work. There's no harm in throwing a track away. It's, that day's work was still worth it. Yeah.
Track for Robotic Pirate Monkey. Check out the accompanying video by Synesthetic at theunce.com. I'm glad you guys mentioned your 20 hours on the road. Let's talk about your live sound. What is the live show like? How do you divvy up responsibilities between the three of you?
Well, that's a constantly evolving thing, and I don't think it'll ever be finalized. But you know, the one consistent thing that's kind of stuck with it is we're definitely trying to bring our sound away from, you know, just strictly DJing, playing one track into the next track. So we, since it's all our original remixes and productions, we'll divide it up into its separate parts and, you know, different clips that are different parts of that, so that way we can
drum,
mix
bass,
and match
sample.
Yeah, we can mix and match and then resequence and play parts live and take any part out, you know, add some new crazy thing in. And I mean, we put a lot of effort into like every show, you know, bringing something fresh to the plate. So we're just going with the flow, and it's changing. But we're trying to keep a live set going, especially since there's three of us. We don't want to just be standing behind one deck pressing play.
Sure. I just saw a video of you guys at the Bluebird in Denver, and you've absolutely packed the place. To what do you think you owe this dizzyingly fast rise to popularity in your home region? Is it because kids out there are just pre-programmed for this music, or is that actually working against you? Like, there are so many DJs and producers playing on any one night anywhere in the region, and you have to sort of fight for your place and establish yourself.
There's definitely a competition in the midst of it, for sure. I mean, right now it's really hard to be a DJ, but when we all started DJing, it was really easy. We were like the only DJs of the friends. So when we all linked up and just started DJing parties together, it was just more like, oh, you know, Hath and Berryhill are DJing at their house, and all of a sudden it was a big party. And I feel like that kind of evolved for us to always have people that really knew that we were doing it and liked to party to us. And then we came out with an EP with our music. So that really separated us from just the DJs, which is now there's probably eight times as many.
Do you think that there are more producers as well, or have you sort of just established yourselves and put yourselves on a completely different plane as the rest of the, say, college DJs at CU?
I mean, there's definitely a lot of people that more people that are producing as well too, and I think, I don't want to say we got into it earlier. I mean, we're still relatively new. I mean, we've been doing it for probably 4 years now individually, just like making music. So we're a little ahead of the ball, but not much. I think what really helped us kind of stride forward was the three of us working together. I just know the rate at which I progressed as a producer from when I was doing it by myself in my bedroom to when I was doing it with these two just skyrocketed. Just, you know, having... always be on your balls of your feet, because, you know, you might think you figured some shit out and, like, you know how to make the music the best, but then one of the other ones will come with, like, something just as good, if not better, and, I don't know, we learn each other's tricks, and we really benefit from having the three of us bounce ideas off of.
It's sort of a friendly competition.
Yeah.
Okay. And I imagine that's fun, then, the three of you, you know, in a car with no CDs, ragging on each other all the way to California. You've done Colorado extensively. Are there any plans to get out of the West?
Oh, definitely. We're going to be doing some shows intermittently throughout the fall, and like in the Southeast, some Midwest, tagging on a couple tours and whatnot. But we're really planning our big debut tour for sometime this January into February. We'll be hitting up the East Coast and the Midwest.
And then you've got some big shows coming up right there. Big Gigantic, Paper Diamond at the CU Welcome Fest, which is hilarious to me because most colleges get like Uncle Bob's Blues Collective or Striper or something to play their school events. And CU gets Big Gigantic, Paper Diesel, and RPM. I mean, that's just funny to me.
Paper Diesel, great. I like that
we're
one.
We're so stoked. I mean, it's been a dream of mine since the freshman year to play on Fair and Field. What? And I didn't even know. I wasn't even DJing at that point.
It's funny. CU like makes just like a rave every year. I remember the first time they had, it was like Girl Talk 1 year. And yeah. It was like, next year's Pretty Lights. And then you're like, they're going to have to stop this. And now... so you're just keeping with the electronic music. So I guess they're just representing what kids like here, and it's good.
That's great. So with all the with all the touring and all the huge shows you got to worry about, tell me about this new release, this brand new release that you've been working on.
It really shows that we are getting to the next level. I think it's still very sample based, but it's more than a remix because we're sampling off of many different tracks and they're not as recognizable, and we're starting to cut them up more and really make it our own jams. I think that people really like it, you know?
Yeah, one thing I'm really stoked about this new track. I mean, we've been working on it for a while and I've probably heard it 3 million times, but we're really excited for today when other people get to finally hear it. And I think that it shows, I mean, in my mind, it's different than what's out there, but yeah, at the same time, it's really heavy. So I hope people, and I think people will enjoy it.
All right. Well, Matt Flesher, Matt Berryhill, and Andrew Hathaway, Robotic Pirate Monkey, thanks so much for being on the UNS podcast.
Yeah,
thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Do it for this week's UNS podcast. Special thanks go to Wilcox Weaver with Press Play LLC. He's bringing Knit Grit to Colorado in early September. More details on that date in the next couple of weeks. And of course, I'd like to thank Andrew Hathaway, Matt Berryhill, and Matt Flesher of Robotic Pirate Monkey for being on the show. They've got a big gig tomorrow at CU Boulder with Paper Diamond and Big Gigantic. And stay tuned to theUNS.com for more info on their forthcoming release. Let's get a quick update of the UNS.com contest page. Win tickets to see Atari Teenage Riot, Boombox and Elliot Lip, Marty Party, and win festival passes for the workout. Just visit the UNS.com/contests to sign up. Please visit the UNS.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review, tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, you'd like to be a guest on the UNS podcast, or you'd like to sponsor an episode, contact me at anand@theuns.com. Feel free to join the conversation at the UNS podcast on Twitter. Catch you next week. You're such a